Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And I'm really excited about my guest today. He's, of course, is going to share his Lyme success journey, which oddly enough, he healed from Lyme before he even knew it was Lyme. And one of the things that played a big role in his healing was food grade diatomaceous earth. And oddly enough, I want to say long before my Lyme journey started, I remember taking some of this food grade diatomaceous earth years ago. And for the life of me, I can't remember why. Don't know why I took it, but I played around with it a little bit and then it kind of went on the wayside until the most recent years where a lot of, you know, I talk oftentimes on my Facebook groups about parasite cleanses and how important they are. And I know that diatomaceous earth can be a great tool to utilize for a parasite cleanse. And so I think that's kind of how it got in my wheelhouse recently. And if you know me at all, you know I constantly love to learn new stuff. So my guest today, again, like I said, he's going to share his personal Lyme journey, and he's kind of a guru when it comes to diatomaceous earth. And so I'm super excited to kind of dive into it and find out really what it is, how our bodies benefit from it, what are the properties in it, and what does it do for us. So stay tuned, listen in, and learn along with me. Neil, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you, Tanya. It's a pleasure.
So, you know, all of our stories always start differently. A lot of times we don't know that we have Lyme for many years, or we're not even sure where our stories really start. But it sounds like from you that you even went through the whole healing journey before you even knew it was Lyme disease. So I'm not sure where you want to start your story, but I'll let you kind of decide that.
That's pretty easy. I had so many bad, really bad symptoms, and it felt like my entire life was falling apart. And I was, it was so bad, I was actually praying, you know, nonstop, really. God, please help me. You know, I need assistance. I'm desperate, you know, because it was so difficult. And I was really ready to go out of work on disability. It was that bad. Mm. And anyway, in the meantime, my animals needed to be wormed. And so I was looking for something natural to worm them. And it is in that I found the food grade diatomaceous earth, because everybody was saying, if you want to use something natural, food grade diatomaceous earth is what you want. So that's why I bought food grade diatomaceous earth, was just for my animals. Mm. And one of my animals, she had mobility issues. You know, she really couldn't get around very well. And when she would get up, she would yelp really loud. And I noticed a week after her taking the food grade diatomaceous earth, you know, and if she'd been taking it for, you know, at least 7 days, she wasn't yelping anymore.
Wow.
So I looked up, what's going on here? You know, what's the deal with this? And what I found was that animals really benefit from the silica in food grade diatomaceous earth. So I thought, well, if it'll help my dog, it's bound to help me somehow. But I looked into it. Everything I read encouraged me to take it. So I started taking it. And, you know, back then, 20 years ago, there was really not much on it. you know. So I started with a teaspoon in ignorance, you know, and it went from there. In about a week, I was up to a tablespoon. And then the next week, I was up to 2 tablespoons. And I was just going up pretty fast, you know, pretty fast and furious, because I had read that, you know, the die-off and the Herxheimer reaction is pretty rough. But, you know, that's a good sign of healing. So when I had real bad die-off and Herxheimer reactions and healing reactions and so on, I was extremely encouraged by that. And I just went after it, you know. But anyway, within 2 weeks, I was completely a different person, you know, just totally different. And inside of a year, within a year, I just kept going up. I would say my highest dose was 12 tablespoons, probably. But I just kept going up on it. And in that first year. But I noticed that all of my symptoms, everything that I had dropped off. I mean, everything. My joints felt brand new. Because if you're dealing with something like rheumatoid arthritis and stuff like that, where your back's locking up, your joints are locking up, you know, you can hardly keep straight, you know, your back. I would get stuck in a position for a long period of time. And I'd have to pray my way through each and every day. I mean, every few minutes, every 15, 20 minutes, you know, I mean, I was just praying all the time. So for me, this was an answer to prayer, you know, big time, huge.
Wow. And I mean, what a coincidence that you learned all of this because you needed to worm your animals. It's amazing how the world works, right? I don't ever believe that there are coincidences. So let me just kind of stop you there for a second and let's kind of go back to your symptoms of what we now know as Lyme disease, right? How long did these symptoms go on, and kind of just give us a quick rundown of all your symptoms? I know you listed a few, and yes, most of us get these random diagnoses, you know, whether it's rheumatoid arthritis, MS, ALS, whatever it may be. And oftentimes it really is Lyme disease. So we have a lot of the same symptoms that mimic other illnesses. So specifically, what were some of your symptoms and your kind of your daily life trying to live through them?
Well, constant burning in my joints and pain. And getting, you know, them locking up on me constantly. Fibromyalgia, really bad. I mean, really bad fibromyalgia. I wasn't sleeping well at all. I had really bad digestive issues. I mean, really bad. Brain fog, you know, constant brain fog. My skin was always itching all the time. And by the way, I lived in a mold home for 15 years. Mm. And it felt like every pore of my body was inflamed, you know? And allergies and sinuses like you wouldn't believe. I mean, my nose was like a running faucet nonstop. But it was just so many different things, you know?
Sounds like you got a little bit of all of it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was horrible.
Wow. Okay. And so did you ever seek out any doctors?
Not really, because, you know, you start out with just like a few symptoms and you just keep getting worse. You know, as it progresses, you just get worse and worse and worse. And by that time, I had lost all faith in doctors. You know, because they've never helped me. They just prescribe stuff, you know?
Okay. So you tried to seek out some help from doctors and, of course, no definitive answers on what's wrong with you. And they just want to start popping pills down your throat and nothing really helps.
Right. I mean, constant writing of prescriptions all the time and, you know, just all nonchalant, really not any help. And things just kept kept getting worse and worse. And I'm so like,
then you turned to prayer, right? You just pray, God help me, right? And he is amazing for sure. And then you come across warming your dogs with food grade diatomaceous earth.
Right.
So is that kind of when you just turn to that and you're like, okay, it's got to help me, right?
Well, I was just like, look, these doctors don't help at all. I could do this bad on my own. Okay. I mean, I don't
need assistance. Isn't that a fact?
I don't need assistance. I can do this bad on my own. This is how bad it was. I mean, they could not fix anything. And I just thought, well, what good are you? If you're not going to fix anything and you're going to just push pills, I don't need that. I need answers. You know, what's the root cause? What's going on? You know, what's really going on here? What's happening?
Yeah. You're a true form of being your own advocate, sounds like.
Right. Well, I had been into natural health type stuff since I was a kid, you know, because I always had really bad sinus and allergy issues. I mean, extreme. And then it got to where I had food allergies, you know. I was addicted to certain foods like bananas and raw tomatoes, stuff like that. I could eat these cooked, but as far as raw, yeah, forget it.
Interesting. Raw versus cooked. Yeah, I know that when you cook things, right, they can break down a lot of things within the specific foods. And so I'm curious if that is why. But for sure, definitely weird, right? Like I can eat it raw, but not cooked. So you kind of had those issues just spring up along your life?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. So then when you started taking this, now let's kind of go back to if it's helping your dogs, it's going to help me, right?
Right.
Did you do, you know, and again, for the listeners, you guys know that these calls are not to treat, diagnose, give you medical advice. It's just simply information on something that worked for an individual person. Does not mean it will work for you, right? We're just here to share information. So when you started this, did you do any research on like how much should I even take? Because I know earlier in the show you said, you know, you kind of started high. And oftentimes we do that, right? We get so excited that something might actually make us feel better or kill whatever's going on in our body. And we want to overdo it, right? I think that that could be detrimental to us. But it sounds like maybe that's how you started out.
Right. Well, the thing is silica is never detrimental. That's the thing about the safety of silica. It's as safe as it gets. I mean, otherwise you couldn't eat or you couldn't eat food and you couldn't drink water.
Right. And let me rephrase that. I meant detrimental in the fact that we hurt so bad. We have such a die-off reaction. That's what I meant by that.
I had everything in the book as far as what's in the articles for die-off, Herxheimer reaction, healing reactions, and so on, and detoxification. I had everything. That's in there listed as what could be a potential, you know, what you could end up feeling and going through and dealing with. And I went through all of it. So that's one of the things I share probably the most is articles on that to help people understand what's taking place. What are you going through and why?
I love that because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that talk about being extremely sensitive to any type of treatment from Lyme disease. And I often wonder, is it being sensitive or is it not understanding really what a Herx is or what our body's going through, right? Are you really allergic to the treatment? Like it's kind of a fine line to cross, but so you went through all these things and now you try to help explain to people what it is. So let's kind of go down that road right now, if we can, kind of the whole die-off and what your body goes through and the Herx, you know, symptoms that you get. And what, if anything, did you do that helped alleviate those or helped get you through the day?
Well, so basically everything that you've been through already, it magnifies it, put it under a magnifying glass. It intensifies it, you know?
That's a good explanation. Really, yes.
That's what you really deal with, okay, is that it gets even worse. But that's the best sign that you're actually healing, because you get worse before you get better. That's natural. That's natural health.
100% agree with that. That's why I think that we feel like we take several steps back forward and then we take several steps backwards, right? Because a lot of times we go through these die-offs and these Herx reactions, and it is exactly that. I remember being in the thick of my treatment, and when I was doing a hard kill in my body, I swear, like, every toe I ever stubbed in my life started hurting again. Like, it just amplified everything to the max, right? And I know that, you know, I was in a treatment clinic going through my Lyme journey, and I know that I would do IVs of magnesium during that time. And that was one of the things that really helped get me through it, and Epsom salt baths and things like that. But yeah, they can be brutal. It's not a pleasurable thing.
I agree 100%. I mean, the only pleasurable part of the whole process is knowing you're healing. That is the only pleasurable part of the entire process.
Right. And sometimes we don't know that, right? We're kind of down on our hope and we don't think anything's going to get us well, but that is for sure a sign. You know, we don't like to Herx. Some doctors say we can treat without you Herxing. You know, there's all sorts of theories around it, but for sure, if you are having a Herx reaction from whatever type of treatment you are doing some serious killing, right? Your things are dying off in your body and you're going to have a reaction from it. And so we'd rather have those things out of our body than in them, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not having a reaction, usually if it has anything to do with food grade diatomaceous earth, you're not taking enough yet to reach the point where there's a tipping point. You know, some people are so deficient in silica, it takes them a long time to hit the tipping point.
Okay. And is that the main ingredient that you think is kind of what is a game changer for diatomaceous earth?
Well, yeah, because diatomaceous earth is 84 to 95% pure silica. You know, that's what it's comprised of.
Okay. And so what exactly is silica, and what does it do for our body?
Okay. So silica is a mineral. It's an essential mineral, and okay, your body's actually made of it. If you don't have it, you have no connective tissue at all. And because you don't have any collagen, you actually need the silica to make collagen. Need the silica to make bones, to make teeth, to make hair, to make skin, to make ligaments, bones. I mean, you name it. Your aorta is mostly silica. That's what your heart aorta is mostly made of silica. So if you're depleted on it, you're in trouble. You know, your whole body's in trouble.
Okay. Interesting. And I know collagen is like kind of the grout to holding up a brick wall, right? Like, it right, supports our whole entire body is collagen. And collagen obviously breaks down as we age. It's part of the aging process. But a lot of times I think that my collagen, my cartilage, my everything just got eaten away by Lyme disease being untreated for so many years. And I think that that happens with a lot of people. And so if we're losing this and then we don't have any silica in our body, there's no way to help it along to bring it back into balance.
Right. You can't regenerate it. I mean, it's hard to regenerate when you're missing the key to regeneration. You know, give the body what it needs to fix itself. It'll fix itself.
I believe that 1,000,000%. Yep. God created some amazing beings in us. So we're designed to heal ourselves given the right tools, right?
Right. And most people are mineral deficient and they don't know it, but that's what you're treating. You're going to treat mineral deficiencies and then you'll get better.
Okay. I love it. So the silica, that's mostly what food grade diatomaceous earth is. And so let's kind of go back now to how you took it. If you can kind of walk us through, you know, again, this is not a recommendation for anybody. This is just your own personal journey on how you personally dosed it. You started with, did you say a full teaspoon initially?
A full teaspoon initially is what I started with. I would never recommend that today.
Okay, let's repeat that. Never start with a full teaspoon, right? So when you're talking about this, so it's like a powdery kind of a grainy kind of a hard to describe what it actually looks like if you're not familiar with it. So you're putting it into what? A glass of water? A capsule?
I put it in water and then down it.
Okay.
You know, so, swirling it around in a very deep glass and downing it.
Okay. And so how much, like if you're doing, you know, whether it's a quarter teaspoon or 2 teaspoons, half a glass of water, warm water, cold water, does it matter?
It really doesn't matter. Just a liquid to get it down because it's a powder.
Yeah. Okay.
A white or off-white powder. If it has bentonite clay in it, it's going to be darker because the bentonite brings it darker. And bentonite's good too. Bentonite's naturally in some of this food grade diatomaceous earth, which essentially is just volcanic ash. But volcanic ash is extremely good for you. You know, it's loaded with minerals, just loaded with them.
Interesting. I've never heard that. But again, I don't know much about diatomaceous earth. That's why I've been excited to have you on so you can share with us all about it. So going back, hindsight, how do you tell your friends or when you share with people how to start dosing? How low do they start? And I know when I start things or I make recommendations, I always slow and steady can win the race, right? Don't overdo it. And then, you know, when people go to up doses on, you know, some of the specific things that I recommend, I always tell them not to up anything for like 3 or 4 days. Let's kind of see how your body is going to react to it first.
Well, so what I did was the first thing I truly did was start studying. I started looking at reviews and people talking that actually used it. And what were they, how much were they using? How much were they taking? How small a dose? How high a dose? What I noticed was that a lot of people were running at about 1/8 of a teaspoon. And then they would get as high as they needed to in order to get symptoms to, you know, go away and to heal their body. Those who were really healing their body were taking high doses. And so I just paid attention to that. And then I wrote my protocols based on all of the people that are actually using it and what they're saying about it, you know, where they're at. And the general consensus was about 1/8 of a teaspoon starting. So okay. I wrote that into the protocol. But I also learned later on the best way to take it is either in food or right after you eat. So I went ahead after researching that and added that in to the protocol. Because the stomach acid, you know, the hydrochloric acid is what breaks it down into the conversion from silica to orthosilicic acid, which is exactly what your body will absorb. It's exactly what your body will use and take up. That's what's normally in food and water. So your body's used to using it that way. So you're essentially biohacking, you know, using it, you know, doing it that way.
And who doesn't love biohacking, right?
Right. I mean, if you're taking it on an empty stomach, you're only getting about 2%. Of what's available. But if you take it with a meal or right after you eat so that it's included in the digestion's process, you're getting 40% at the very least. So it's a huge jump in available silica for your body.
That's incredible. And that's good to know, because oftentimes we wonder, am I supposed to take this on an empty stomach? Am I supposed to take it with food? Do I take it morning, night? Sounds like it probably doesn't matter day, time of day that you take this.
Right.
And is it normally something you take once a day? Or I know earlier you had mentioned at one point you were up to, was it 9 tablespoons you said?
12 at the very least.
12 at the very least. Okay. Yeah. And so was this throughout a day?
Yeah. So I would break it up. I would take some with every meal, you know, and break it up. Every time you eat, take some more, you know. Make sure you cover everything you eat. This way, you get the most out of the silica. It's more bioavailable. And anything that would feed on your food is going to feed on the silica, like take, for instance, parasites and die. You know, because whatever you feed yourself with, you're feeding them with. So it's important to have that in the process.
So you keep bringing up the main thing about the amazingness of this is the silica. Can people just take a silica pill? And well, or why is it better to get it through diatomaceous earth?
Okay. Well, there's nothing higher in available silica than food grade diatomaceous earth. And there's a reason for that. Diatoms, which is where you get diatomaceous from, diatoms are algae, and this particular algae is a plant. It's fresh water. And anyway, this particular diatom only uses opal silica to make itself. It's made out of only opal silica. And so that's what you really need. You need opal silica because that's what all the plants and the animals are vying for when they're eating grass. They're eating what comes from opal silica, you know, because the plants take it up, the trees take it up. That's where your oxygen comes from, by the way. All oxygen on Earth, there wouldn't be any oxygen at all if it wasn't for opal silica. There'd be no oxygen at all. That ought to give you a kind of a hint as to how important it is. 59% of the earth is silica. So plants can't take up enough of the silica, but the algae could. But when you get food grade diatomaceous earth, the plant material's gone. All that remains is just the mineral. Just the mineral.
Interesting. Gosh, you really have done your research on this. I find this just fascinating. It's amazing the natural sources out there for us, what they can do for our bodies, what they do for the environment, right? Just in general, if we have no oxygen in the air without this, like that is kind of mind-blowing to me. Incredible. So that answered that question. We don't take the pills. We take it from the food grade diatomaceous earth. And you're saying that these reactions that we can expect from it would be some type of a Herx reaction, which a lot of us Lyme people are very, very familiar with, right? So we're going to deal with those. And were there certain things that you did to get you out of those Herx reactions? Or did you were you just a tough guy and just pushed right on through?
So after the first year, still living in a mold home, by the way, I decided to start adding other things. I added, thanks to Bob Beck, I started adding colloidal silver that I made myself.
One of my favorite things.
Yep. I started adding colloidal silver, thanks to Bob Beck, some of his lectures. And then I added Lugol's iodine solution, based off of my research on the internet. And I also added, believe it or not, coffee enemas.
Oh, they're fantastic. Yes.
Mostly for the glutathione, you know, and for the liver detox, you know, I needed that. So yeah, the coffee enemas were great. You know, all that glutathione is so helpful.
You know, so how often did you do the coffee enemas?
I was doing them probably 2 or 3 times a week.
Okay.
When I first started.
Okay. And then back to the colloidal silver, my favorite topic. What type of dosage did you do on that? I know when I was in the thick of my treatment, I did, I think it was 9 teaspoons throughout the day. But I know, you know, and now in the last couple of years, I started brewing my own. I'm well, but I'll continue to use it for everything because it is truly an amazing thing. And so I know that a lot of people do pretty high dose of silver. So what did your dosing look like through your treatment?
So, you know, based on my little maker that I had, I was drinking probably an 8-ounce glass a day. But I started out real small, like you. You know, I started out with a few tablespoons because you herx off that too,
mm-hmm.
you know. But anyway, I started with that, and it was very helpful. And I just kept going up on it, you know, and going up and going up. Now I drink about 1 liter a day. But that's not the only thing that I make. I make colloidal silver with copper, with magnesium, and with zinc, things of that nature, with platinum, especially platinum's a white gold. It's really beneficial. So I put all that in a gallon and I make all that at the same time.
Interesting. Oh my gosh, I love it. So you pretty much, not pretty much, you absolutely were your own advocate and your own teacher of what you had to learn to heal your body from whatever was going on with it, which it sounds like there was a lot of things going wrong with your body, right? And so you started doing all your research and came up with your own protocol, kind of threw it together, and that's what got you on the road to healing?
Well, if you're familiar with MTHFR, you know.
The DNA mutation that, yes, that can, you know, inhibit a lot of issues, especially those that deal with Lyme disease. And I did have it. It was one thing that I discovered along my journey. Of course, I didn't know what it was. But kind of hindsight, I think it was that mutation that I was unaware of, which was the reason I lost my baby in utero at 6 months, was because of that mutation, the MTHFR. And I since have gotten rid of it. I no longer have it. But yes, it has been a big issue for a lot of people. And so what was your experience?
Well, I didn't know that I had it. But I did notice that with the food grade diatomaceous earth, that really fixed a lot of my detox issues. Then you pair that with something like the colloidal silver and the iodine, Lugol's iodine, and then the coffee enemas, you really have an award-winning team to not really knock it on down, you know, whatever you're dealing with. But honestly, 90% of everything that I had dealt with, the food grade diatomaceous earth took care of. That last 10% is what I was going for with the colloidal silver, the iodine, and then, of course, the coffee enemas.
Wow, that is amazing. I mean, it just, kudos to you. Like, that is huge, right? But like you said, you can do better than the doctors can do, right? Like, you went down that gaslighting road for a long time and decided you were going to take matters into your own hands. And oftentimes that's kind of where we feel left out, right? Like, I still think it's a great idea to have a practitioner on board to kind of help you through these things, right? We are not medical doctors. But during our journey, oftentimes we feel like we could be a doctor, we could be a pharmacist, we could be a therapist, right? Because we have to be our own advocate and learn so many things we never dreamt that we'd be learning. And it sounds like you really just absorbed it all and just dove into it. And that's incredible. Truly, kudos to you. That's pretty amazing.
Well, I mean, I've been looking for answers for a long time, But it was really after the food grade diatomaceous earth, I really started getting deeper and deeper and deeper into my studies on all natural forms of healing. And that's where it really took off, you know, I mean, it really took off then. And it's not good enough for me to walk free. It's not good enough for me to win the lottery. If anyone I share this with can win the lottery and walk free, that's what I need to do, you know. And God made that real to me. He's like, look, man, you know, it's not good enough for you to walk free. You need to help other people so that they can walk free.
I love it. I believe that that's why you and I both went through this journey, right? Is so that we're able to experience what we experienced and be able to give back to others to try to help them through this healing process. Because there is a way to heal, I think, from anything and everything out there, right? There's the exactly. World is an amazing place and there are so many tools at our fingertips, but we need to know what they are. And so I'm beyond grateful for you for what you do in the community and helping and sharing these other things as well. So a couple of questions. Is there a specific kind of diatomaceous earth that you prefer?
I prefer PermaGuard products. And that makes up 90% of all available food grade diatomaceous earth in the world. There's a lot of middle market people that handle it. And about everything out there that's white or off white is actually a PermaGuard product. And all your middle people are buying it from PermaGuard, repackaging it in their name and selling it. But I go straight to PermaGuard, you know, for all of my stuff. But they really don't sell it except to somebody that is going to supply it, a middle market. But there's ways to get it without going through all that.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier that if it has, and I apologize, I forget exactly what you said in it can be darker. So do you prefer the lighter one that doesn't have any added things into it?
So I prefer food grade diatomaceous earth alone. However, there's another brand out there. It's called Red Lake brand, and it's diatomaceous earth with bentonite clay.
Bentonite clay. That was it.
And it's really good too. It's a very good product. It's an acquired taste. It's you know, you got to remember that you know, ash from a volcano, it doesn't taste so great. You know, it's been burned.
I couldn't
up.
Imagine. Yeah,
it's been burned up by that volcanic action and being spewed out onto the Earth's surface. And so it has a bit of a burnt taste, but it's really good for you. And it acts as another binder because food grade diatomaceous earth is a binder. But if it just has to do the work of binding, it's not as beneficial. So if you pair that with a binder, like say bentonite clay, activated charcoal, or you use something like chlorella, or anything like that, you know, the added binder really does help. But my favorite binder, honestly, is activated charcoal. I love this stuff. When I was a kid, every corner store had activated charcoal and syrup of ipecac. I mean, I don't know of a single store when I was a kid that didn't have that. So I grew up with that. And everybody used it. Now they don't want you to use that anymore. You know, doctors will holler at you, hey, don't use that every day, you know? And I always wonder, why are they having a conniption over something, you know, that's, you know, a normal part of your ancestry? You know, people cooked over fires. They got this type of stuff in their body, you know, and it never hurt anybody, you know, with most meals. So what's up with that? You know, why are they so down on it? Well, then it come to find out, well, because it actually takes all the garbage out of your body. You know, it works like dialysis, but through the gut. And it's an amazing healing modality all in itself.
And
it does not take the good things from you. But everyone, because based on one report, everyone thinks it takes everything good from you, and they constantly parrot that information, which is disinformation, because it's been proven wrong time and time again. But that's always going to be what people are going to say, you know, is, oh, don't take it. It's going to take everything good from you. It doesn't do that. It's selective.
Yeah. And that's why it's really important. You know, we share information here, but it's really important for us to be our own advocate, right? To do our own research. I never recommend just taking somebody's word on something, right? Even if they have a degree and they're a doctor, right? Like, they don't know it all. And so we really need to do our own research, look into these studies that have been done on things. I love activated charcoal. I used it for many years during my treatment. And then I switched over to something called GI detox. It has activated charcoal in it. It has bentonite clay. It has apple pectin. It has a couple other things. And it's always been one of my favorite binders. So, Neil, let me ask you this. When you're talking about adding these binders into taking the food grade diatomaceous earth as well, you're not talking about taking it together. Is that correct? Or am I misunderstood?
I take them both. I take activated charcoal and DE at the same time together with every meal.
Interesting. Okay. Because I've been told for many years, again, right, going off of what my doctors tell me, is that any type of a binder that you take, you need to take it an hour or two away from, you know, your food or your medicine or anything like that. Is that kind of what you were just talking about? How they say that it soaks up the good stuff and it really doesn't?
It really doesn't. I'll just put it to you like this. When GMOs came along, I was a certified licensed pesticide agent. And when GMOs came along, I saw the writing on the wall. They're putting stuff in foods you don't want in your body. Do you really need to poison your body to be healthy? I mean, really? Is that what we've come to?
They don't want us healthy. They want to be able to keep us sick so they can, you know, keep Big Pharma happy by continuing to throw pills at us. Sorry, that was a little rant.
Ever since COVID, all right, ever since the COVID debacle, they've engineered everything to have a vaccine in your food. So do we all really need to be vaccinated by eating stuff? Or I'll say this. Should we take something that's a binder that's going to remove the garbage from the food? Maybe that's why they're hollering so loudly, oh, for God's sakes, don't take it with your food. Because if you take it with your food and you're healthy, it's bye-bye, doctor, see you later, I don't need your drugs. So, and Big Pharma doesn't get any Big Harma going on. You know, and so you don't have to worry about that anymore. I mean, an ounce of prevention, I was always told, was worth a pound of cure. So if you want to prevent stuff from happening, how about allowing your intelligent, innately intelligent body to give these things the charge that it needs to have so that it can take out the things you don't need in your body that it doesn't recognize? And says, this is foreign matter. It needs to go. How about it, silica? How about it, activated carbon or activated charcoal? You know, and then that's what it does. It takes it out. When the body gives it the charge, it also gives it the instructions as to what is foreign and not native to the body and what to remove and get rid of. So it's important that we go ahead and listen to the body, because it's pretty smart, smarter than we are, and trust the design and the designer, that's God. You know, go ahead and trust him. He knows what he's talking about. He's not an idiot. And he's not talking about propping up an idiotic body. Your body's not an idiotic thing. It's smart. It's been well designed. It can do its own job. It doesn't need your help, as in, oh, let's worry about what might get taken out. The only thing that's going to get taken out is bad health and disease. We could do with a lot less of that. You know, disease and bad health, we could do with a lot less of that.
Yes, we can, for sure. And truly, our bodies are amazing. I think the important takeaway from that is to always remember that if you're having a symptom, right, and I'm not even just talking about having Lyme disease or anything else, if you're having these random symptoms of something, whether it be a headache or whatever it may be, it is a sign. Your body is telling you something, right? Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss yourself. Don't ignore it. You need to get to the root of why you're having this specific thing that, you know, if you just have a headache out of the blue, I'm not talking about that. Something that is persistent in your body that you're struggling with. There's a reason for it. Your body is trying to alert you. Something is going on. Stop, pause, and figure it out, because it could change the outcome of your life, right? That's just amazing. So let me see. I wanted to ask you, I think, one last thing. Now that you're well, right, and you're healthy, do you still take binders and diatomaceous earth? What do you still take daily, if anything?
8 tablespoons of food-grade diatomaceous earth per day with activated charcoal, 1 teaspoon with every meal. At the same time, every day. And that is what works for me.
I love it.
I'm just trying to keep the sickness and disease off of me. Because don't even get me started on chemtrails, bioengineering, and cloud seeding.
Right. That's a whole nother conversation, for sure. Well, Neil, you have been a wealth of information. You've opened my eyes to a lot of things that I didn't know. And like I said, I love to learn new things, especially natural things, right, that can keep our bodies healthy, because I went through a 13-year journey. I've been well for 4 years, and it's always, I'm not struggling, but I'm always striving to continue to just keep my good health. And so I know a lot of people are so desperate out there looking for information that they can, you know, help them along their journey themselves at home. And so I know that you run a couple of Facebook groups, and so people can reach out to you and find it. I know you mentioned that you post some protocols on there. Do you also attach any of these studies, the research studies or anything like that, on your pages as well?
So every time I write a paper, there are the articles that will back up that paper, you know, that are included in it. The research nonstop, you know, people, they think that I'm flying by the seat of my pants. I have done that in my youth, but not in my older age. No. I go ahead and back everything up with the articles that actually prove the point. There are very few things that I don't back up, and I'll tell people, this is not backed up. This is what I've learned that I'm sure is true. Eventually science will back that up, but right now they're not working on that.
I love that. So you're very transparent about that, because I think that there's a lot of, you know, just like what's not, you know, FDA approved or whatever, many things that actually work, right? So I think it's important to have the research, the studies on specific things, but also I think it's okay to go off of the general population of things that work, right? So yeah, for sure. Okay, Neil, what are the groups? Where can people find you on Facebook?
So one of the groups I'm in is called Diatomaceous Earth. That's just it. You know, Diatomaceous Earth.
Okay.
There's another called Food Grade Diatomaceous Earth Support Group. That's a good one. And then there is there's another one. It's called basically Earth Eaters.
I love the name.
And then there's my there's my Telegram group, and it's an opal silica group. You can look at just search for Opal Silica and you'll find it.
And that's on Telegram.
And that's on Telegram. Yeah, I set that up because of the overreach of certain media that never seems to want to stop beating you over the head for sharing good information. And
you know, it's good information when they don't want you to share it, right? That's how it is.
You got to watch media because they're constantly doing stuff you don't want them doing. They're constantly censoring. I find Telegram censors the least. So that's why I'm there. And I like the freedom. So I go there to be free and to tell people the truth.
I love that. Yes, I have, you know, my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook group, which I love and support. But it's, yeah, we get censored a lot on Facebook. There's a whole lot of things I'd love to share, but I don't want my page shut down. So it sounds like Telegram's a great place to be. Neil, again, thank you so much. I appreciate what you do in the community. I appreciate you educating me today because you shared some things I had no idea about. So it's just fascinating to me that all this stuff is available at our fingertips, right?
It's true. Well, my final word is this. Most people are scared to death of nature. They've gotten so disconnected with nature, they're scared to death of it. I see this all the time. But I mean, silica and carbon are a part of our body. They're a part of our existence. And they're not there to hurt you. You know, they're there to help you. And I wish people would learn that. People are always afraid. Oh, I'm afraid of DE. It'll take stuff, from my food. And it's like, honey, your food and water already has silica in it. If it was ever going to be a problem, it should have showed up by now. You're how old now? I mean, it should have showed up by now. If that was going to be an issue. People saying, oh, the activated charcoal is going to steal good stuff. Well, I mean, I've been taking it every day with every meal over 4 years. When is it going to start doing the things that they claim it's going to do? I mean, when is that going to start? I'm just curious. I'm just wanting to know. You know, because sometimes people need to be reminded, you've got a brain, but if you don't use it, you might just lose it. So it's really important to sharpen that thing, you know?
Yeah. And we don't know what we don't know, right? That's why it's amazing to have people within the community to share things that we've learned along our journey, because oftentimes our eyes get wide open to things that we knew nothing about. So
absolutely.
I appreciate you, Neil.
When we know better, we do better.
I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Tanya.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.